Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Dalet. We are about 20 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis, the two dots, Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Chaim Yechiel Yosef ben Sara, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Yekosio ben Gittel, Eliyakim Getzel ben Brana Esther, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Yael Bas Bela, and Rachel Maita Bas Sara. Today's daf's also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Al-Chanan, and Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Shvisas Behema, halachos that are discussed in the fifth parak of Masechet Shabbos, parak Bameh Behema, stating that the daf is going to begin with a little bit of a digression. And this next gemara is a classic. Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa, there was a story be'echad, Shemesa Ishtoi, a man, lo yaleinu, lost his wife, Vehinicha ben Linoik, and she left over a child that had to be nursed. But this person did not have the money that he needed to be able to hire a meineke, someone that professionally would be able to nurse his child. Says the Gemara, V'nasaloi Nes, he had a miracle. V'niftachu loish dadim kishnei dade isha, his dadim acted as the dadim of a woman, v'henekes benoi, and miraculously he was able to nurse his children. Amar Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef heard this story, he said, Boyu rei kama gadol adam zeh, take a look at what a great man this must have been. Shenasa loy nes kozeh, that he had this unbelievable miracle, literally, shaloi keder chateva, his dadim, despite the fact that he was a male, was able to nurse a child, as if he would have been a woman. Amalei Abaya, Abaya told Rav Yosef, Adarabah, I disagree with you, Rebbe, kama garua adam zeh, I think to the contrary. I think the takeaway of this story is not how chashuv this person was, but something must have been wrong with this person. Sheneshtanu lei sidrei bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wanted to do a chesed with him, chose to do it. Shaloi kederech hateva, meaning Hashem probably could have given him what he needed in more of a teva digger way. From the fact that Hashem performed a miracle, so shaloi kederech hateva, I think, said Abaya, this is a sign not kama gadol adam zeh, but rather kama garua adam zeh. What's Pashup Shat? Says the Marshal, because when a person has a miracle, Shaloi Kederech HaTeva happened to him, he loses a lot of schosim. So the Abaya felt that Hashem could have given him what he needed. At the end of the day, all he needed was a little bit of money. And at the same time, he could have maintained his chusim. From the fact that Hashem did it, Shaloi Kederech HaTeva, must be a sign, not kama gadol adam zeh, but rather kama karua adam zeh. Now, the truth is, before we go weiter, there's two obvious kashas on this gemara. The first question is, if this person was so bad, like Abaya thought, kama garua adam zeh, then how do you have a miracle like this happen to him? It's good, it came with an invoice, he lost his chusim. But at the end of the day, if someone is garua, how would he have such a miracle? And besides, you find many gemaras in Shas where there were different tzaddikim that had miracles happen to them. Reb Chanina ben Daisa, etc., etc. So are we supposed to comment now and say, kama garua adam zeh, that the pishtan of Reb Chanina ben Daisa was madlik the way Shemin is madlik? Of course not. So why would this be any different? So at the end of the daf in the raid, we'll get into this a little bit. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, "Boy, Ray, kama koshim mizaynoisav shaladam shenishtanu all of sidrei breishis." Rabbi Yehuda had a different comment. He said, "Take a look at how hard it is sometimes for a person to make parnasa that Hakadosh Baruch Hu had to literally make a neshalay keder chateva to give this person a little bit of money that maybe otherwise he wasn't destined to have." Amar Rab Nachman, and Rab Nachman doubled down. He said, "Tate, I'll prove it to you. The misrachish nisa." I see more miracles happening than people having parnasa. So clearly it must be more challenging for Hashem to give someone parnasa, even than for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform a miracle. Tanu Rabbanan, another classic story. Maisa, there was a story about the Mekash Anasa, Isha Gidemez. He married a woman who didn't have a hand. But this person never noticed. He had no idea that his wife was a Gidemez until the day that she died. Amar Rav. Rav heard the story and he said, this woman must have been such a tsnua that her own husband never knew that she was a Gidemez. Amar Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya said, no, I don't think the takeaway is how impressive this woman was, but rather I think the takeaway is how impressive the man is. Because zu darka bekach. What does that mean? Says Rashi, number one, women are naturally tsnuim. Number two, a woman that's a Gidemez, that's what tznua may be incentivized to go out of her way to hide her mum from her husband. But Rav Chiya said, you want to know who's impressive in the story? Kametzenua Adam Zeh. It's the man that's impressive. Shleihikir Be'ishta, he didn't have this mum, and he's someone that naturally maybe wouldn't be such a tzenua. And the fact that he never recognized this mum and his wife, that's a sign that he must be a tzenua. There's what to talk about on this Gemara, and we'll get to this at the end of the daf as well. Sakti Gemara, Sucharim Yoitzin Levum. So the Mishnah, returning to our regular program, which is Bameh Behema Yoitza. So the Mishnah discussed different things that animals are allowed to go out with on Shabbos. Specifically, the Mishnah said that zecharim, male sheep, also known as rams, yoitzim, they're allowed to go out on Shabbos, levuvin. The recheilois, the female sheep, are yoitzai shchuzois, kivulois, and kavunois. So what does this all mean? Zok de Gemara. My levuvin. So the males are allowed to go out levuvin. Amr Rafun, Rafun is at tusri. It means you're allowed to tie two sheep together and they shall walk in that way. It's not considered carrying. Says the Gemara, my mashma, the high levuvin, lishno de kruvehu. Where do you see that idea in the word levuvin? Meaning, levuvin was Chazal's word. So I guess the word levuvin, the connotation is two things that are together, two animals that are tied together. What's the scriptural source for this? So the Gemara says, "Dechsev." It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Libavtini achoisi kalo, libavtini ba'achas me'inayich. And what does libavtini mean there? It's a sign of lipshaf, that of togetherness, of korva. So you see, that's what levuva means. Ulo umalus had a different shot. Orisha koishim lo keneged libam. It's referring to a flap of skin that they used to tie by the heart of the male sheep. What was the reason for it? Because they were concerned that a wolf may come and attack the sheep. It's like this, he'd be somewhat protective. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, it sounds like they used to only tie it to the male sheep, not to the female sheep. When you see that, because the Mishnah said, "Zcharim yoytzen levuvim, richelois yoytzay shchuzay skfulois ukvunois." It sounds like only the zcharim can go out with this. So it must be that this was something that was unique to the zcharim. If it's to protect from the sheep, why would only the zcharim have it? You would think that the kevis would have it as well. So the Gemara says, "Mishun demasku bereish adra." The reason is because the male sheep used to go at the head of the herd, and as a result, that's where the sheep would attack, and that's why they needed the protection. The females didn't need the protection. But the Gemara says, "Is that true?" Zeven the sheep only attack the front, they don't attack the back. The reason must be something else, because the male sheep were bigger than the female sheep. So the wolves would attack the males because they're more zaftig. But the Gemara says, is that always true? But the cave is like a shamni. Who said? It could be Nekevai sheep that are also bigger. The Sioux says, you're giving too much credit to the wolf. But the wolf knows who to attack, who not to attack, who's a male, who's a female. So the Gemara says, must be, it's for a different reason. The males need a protection because the males used to instigate the wolves. They would see the wolves, they'd give them a look, and the next thing you know, a fight breaks out. So the males need the protection. The females don't need the protection. So it was more motzui that the shepherd would take this ari, would wrap it around the male, then around the female. That's why for the male, it's not considered caring. For the female, it would be considered caring. Nachum Mayizcha Gomei said a third pshat in what levuva means. Arisha koshum lehem tachas achrusam. This was a flap of skin that they used to tie by the mokaim hazachrus of the animal. It's like this, they would go on the Nekevis. And this, of course, would explain why only the Zachar have it and not why the Nekev had. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that? Meaning, is there a riot to this third pshat? So the Gemara says, yeah, because Tani Seifa, the Seifa said, Baruchelim Yoitzois, three ways, Shchuzois, Kfulois, and Kavunois. Says the Gemara, my Shchuzois. What does Shchuzois mean? Shaichsana al Yishalam Lamailo. What it means is they're allowed to walk outside with their tail pointing upwards, Kideshiyalu Aleim Scharim, so that the Scharim will be enticed to go to them. So the Gemara says, Charim, Reisha, Kadesh Layalu al Nekevois, Visefa Kadesh Yalu aleim Zacharim. So it makes sense. It's a little geschmack, this pshat in Levuvin, because if that's the case, Zacharim Yoitzin Levuvin, and the next words in the Mishnah, Recheilois Yoitzin Shchuzois, it flows. It's one idea that Zacharim Yoitzin Levuvin with this are to make sure that the Scharim don't go on the Nekevois, and then Recheilois Yoitzin Shchuzois in this way where they're acting and behaving in a certain way, Kadesh Yalu Aleim Scharim. So the Gemara says, my mashma dahi shchuzes lishon de gilu yehu. We're assuming for sure that the word shchuzes means that the Nekevis allowed to walk outside exposing their erva, so like this, the Scharim will want to go to them. Right, where do you see that in the word shchuzes? So the Gemara says, the chsiv, there's a source to this pasuk as well. Mishle perik zayin, vihine isha likrasoi, shis zoyna, Unetsura slave. Shizoina means exposed like a zoina. So Rashi says the word shchuzo is tab Rashi, nutrikin de shchuzo. Either way, that's what it means. So it's geshmak a little bit, the third pshat, that schorim yoitzim levuv and recheilus yoitzim shchuzo, because it's really meinyan leinyan ba'isinyan. Either way, so the Mishnah said, zchorim yoitzim levuv, the male sheep are allowed to go outside on Shabbos in a Rishus Rabin. Levuvin. What does levuvin mean? The Gemara had three pshatim. One pshat is they used to tie rams together. Miloshein libavtani achosi kala, so they can go out together. In that way, they can go levuvin. Another pshat is they used to put a flap of skin or leather on the heart of the rams to protect it from the wolves. Why did only the scharim need protection? Why didn't the nekeves need protection? Because the scharim used to instigate the wolves. So they needed to be protected. And the third shot is this was an ur that they would put on top of the zachrus of the animal. The reason was, k'dei shelo yalu on nekeves, they shouldn't start up with the nekeves. So the Mishnah said one thing about the scharim, what they're allowed to go with on Shabbos, and three things about the recheles. What were the three things about the recheles? Shchuzois, kfulois, and kfunois. So we just explained what shchuzois is. So what are the next two things? What they would do is they would chain down the tail of these animals so the scharim shouldn't go onto them. So the Gemara says, how do you know that the word kavel means A, to tie down, Miloshin chains, and B, tie down in a way where you're preventing reproduction? So the Gemara says, d'chsev, you can learn it from the following pasuk. The pasuk says that chiroim helped Shloima HaMelech built the first base HaMikdash. And Shloima HaMelech wanted to give him a gift. So Vayomer, so what did he do? He gave him cities. So Hiram comes to Shloima, he tells him, Vayomer, Moha Orem Ma'il Hashem Asatali Ochi, my brother, these are the cities you gave me. Vayikul Hem Eretz Kovel Adoyem Azeh. He wasn't happy with it. He said, this is Eretz Kovel, my Eretz Kovel. What was so disappointing about the city? So the Gemara very surprisingly says, Amr Afun Shayib Abnei Adam, Shem Mechubal HaMekasif HaVazov. There were people that were wrapped in gold and silver. Meaning he gave them a city where people were earning a lot of money. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, I don't understand, doesn't make sense. Ihachi, if that's the case, then why would Hiram say, Hainu dechsiv, vayetze Hiram mitzar lisha, Leroy says, I'm reading the whole pasuk. Doesn't make sense. It sounds like this was a very wealthy city. He owned the city, so why would he be disappointed with this? Amalei said, yeah, in. Because given that Hiram was looking for arbiters. He wanted people that were going to work hard. He gave him a city of people that are wealthy, that mefunakim. He didn't think the city was worth much. So what do you see from here? So you see from here that number one, mechubala means wrapped. Number two, wrapped in a way where they're not producing. Now, it's a little bit of a play on words here. Mechubalim bekesef uvizav. As a result, kiven da'atiri u'mefanki le'avdi avidasa. So we're taking the same word, kivulois, that we find Eretz HaKovel regarding this, one of the cities that Shloim HaMelech gave Hiram, and we're using it in the context of tying. In this case, we're not tying people with kesef and zav, but rather we're tying the tail of the animal, so that the animal won't reproduce, meaning like this, shelo yalu aleihem zecharim. Nachum by Yitzchak Omer, he said a different pshat in what that city was. It was Eretz Chumtenhois. It was very sandy. The Maikar Le Kovel, the Meshtag of a Karat Kavel. If somebody walked in, his ankle would be knee deep in sand. The point is, va'amriyenshi, arim mechabel yavet peri, and that wasn't considered to be a fertile land. Either way, even Rav Nachman by Yitzchak is saying that that pasuk is the mekar to this idea that kvulois means that it's not oisaperos. It's not oisaperos. That's why Hiram wasn't happy with it. Why was it not oisaperos? Either wasn't oisaperos because the people over there weren't hard workers, or it wasn't oisaperos because the land itself wasn't very fertile. The next thing the Mishnah said was the recheilos ayoitzois kivunois. So what does kivunois mean? Again, scharim yoitzin levuven, we know what that means. Recheilos yoitzis shchuzois kivulois u kivunois. Says the Gemara, my kivunois, shemechavin oisel amelas. So when a sheep is born, its wool is the whitest it's ever going to be. So apparently, what the farmers, the shepherds used to do is they would cover the wool. So like this, it would remain pristine. It would remain very, very white. So this covering that it had is what's known as kavunos. Shemechabnin oisel lemelas. Melas is really nice wool. So they would cover it like this. You can get melas from it. The Tana, it's a Mishnah. Say iska tzemelovin, one of the maris negoim. If it's white like tzemelovin, my tzemelovin, amar Rabbi Barabaya, kitzemer noki. It's like the very, very clean wool. Ben yoimoy shemechabnin oisel lemelas that they used to cover. Either way, that's what kfunos means. The Mishnah continued and said, ha'izim, the goats, yoitzois tru. So this is already the Gemara discussed on Daf Nun Gimel. If you remember, there were three shitas regarding this. Again, the farmers would sometimes tie something around the udders of the goats. And there were two reasons that they would do it. One reason was to get it to stop producing milk. Another reason they would do it is to catch the milk. It's like this, they wouldn't lose the milk. So there was a three-way machlekes in the Mishnah with regards to whether or not the goats can go out with this on Shabbos. Tanakama said, Ha'izim yoisit tzuros. And Rashi says, that means they can always go out. It doesn't matter why you tied it, it's always going to be okay. Rabbi Yosi yoisit, Rabbi said they're never allowed to go out. Rabbi Yehuda was a machriya. He made a compromise. He said, "Izim yoytzos tzeruros liyadish." If the purpose of it is to dry the milk out, then they can go out. Avaloy v'chalav. If the purpose is to catch the milk, then they cannot go out. Itmar says the Gemara. What's the bottom line? Rav Amarav said Alocha Rabbi Yehuda. The Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda who made this pshara. Shmuel Amishmuel said Alocha Rabbi Yosi who said it's always aser. Ikedemasu lo hash ma'itav avinash. So I made a different version of this machloikis. Same machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, albeit in different language. Rav Amarav said liyadish muter v'loy l'chalav, which is just another way of saying Halachic Rabbi Yehuda, because that was Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in the Mishnah. The Shmuel HaMishmuel said, Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh Aser, which is another way of saying Halachic Rabbi Yosef. So again, it's the same exact thing. In the first version, Rav said Halachic Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel said Halachic Rabbi Yosef. In the second version, Rav stated Rabbi Yehuda Shita Lehalacha, Shmuel stated Rabbi Yosi Shita Lehalacha, but essentially it's the same thing. Some had even a third version of this. Itzim Yosi Shurois Liyavish Avavaloi Lechalif. That was Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Shum Rabbi Yehuda Maseir Amru, and then Rabbi Yehuda Maseir said, Kach Halacha Avomi Mephis. I happen to agree with Rabbi Yehuda. But at the end of the day, is there anyone that knows Ezel Liyavish, Ezel Lechalif, Umitach Shem Akir and Echo Zev, Echo Zev? I mean that it's impossible to know what's what. So you're just opening up room for people to do the wrong thing and say they were doing it for the right reason. They're going to say they did a liyavish. Really, they weren't doing it liyavish. And it's for that reason, said Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, it always has to be also. Omar Shmuel, v'amri lo. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, alochek Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, tzim dritten mul. Essentially, the aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, that it's always going to be also. So again, Shmuel sheet is, it's always going to be also. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, depends on why. So according to Rav, the aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda. According to Shmuel, the aloch is like Rabbi Yosi. Ki yaseh Rav and Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Third shita halacha ketana kama. So machloik is Rav Shmuel and Rav Yechanan, the three gedolei hadar at that time. They each took one of the three shitas in this mishnah here in Perek Bamei Behemah. Talk to mishnah vayter. So till now we were discussing the first half of the equation Bamei Behemah Yoytze. Now we're going to shift our attention and we're going to discuss uvameh. A gomel, a camel, is not allowed to go out with a mitul telus. It is different pshatim here in Rashi and the Rishonim. What exactly this mitul telus is, we'll pick one pshat, and that is it's the sackcloth. So it's the equivalent thereof to the mardas. So we spoke in yesterday's daf at length about the donkey going out with the mardas. So the mitul telus is to the camel what the mardas is to the chamar. It's the cloth that goes on top of the camel underneath the saddle. Additionally, says the Mishnah, loy akoid. The camel's not allowed to go at akoid, but loy rogo. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. The chen shar kol behemis, not only true for camels, true for all animals. Another halacha, yikshur gmalim zeb zeb. You're not allowed to tie camels together, v'yimshoich, and take them for a walk on Shabbos. So the proverbial walking your dog on Shabbos, says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to tie the camels together and walk them that way. But if you have a bunch of camels that are on individual ropes, and you put each rope in your hand, again, individually, then it is okay. As long as you don't tie the ropes together, that's okay. The Gemara will explain everything. A camel is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos if the mitul teles, this cloth, is tied to its zonov, to its tail. Avol yoytzehu, it can go out b'mitul teles akshure b'znovay u'bechutartay. If it's tied on one end to the tail and on the other end to its hump. What's the point? The point is really there's no iser for the camel to go out with the mitul teles. Just like the chamor was allowed to go out with the mardas, it wasn't considered carrying. So for the camel to go out with the mitul teles wouldn't either be considered carrying. The only reason the Mishnah says uvama ene yoytzeh lo yetzeh gamel b'mitul teles is because we're afraid that it may fall off. And if it falls off, you may pick it up and you can end up carrying in a Rishus HaRabin. So if that's the case, there's a way to get around that. As long as you tie it up really well, it's going to be fine. Amar Rabbi Barafuna, Yoytze Agamem Mitul Teles Akshurla Bishul Yas. If it's tied to the Shulya, to the placenta, that's also going to be okay. Loi Akkad V'Loi Rugg. Mitch said a camel and all animals are not allowed to go out. Akkad, they're not allowed to go out ruggles. What does this mean? Amar Yudabri, they said Akkad Akkad Yad V'Rego. Akkad means if you take the fore leg and the hind leg. So on, let's say on the right side, you take its two legs, the front and the back, the proverbial hand and the proverbial foot, and you tie it together. Why is it called Akkad? Ki Yitzchak ben Avram. Because when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak and he put him up on the Akedah, he did it in that way. And being that he did it in that way, it goes down as Akkad Miloshoin Akedas Yitzchak. What does Rago mean? Shela Yaakov Yodoy Al Gabi Zroi V'Yikshar. So you take one of the hands, one of the legs of the animal, and you tie the lower part to the upper part, the yad, which is the hand, to the zraya, to the arm. So it's not two legs being tied together, but rather it's one leg, the upper part and the lower part, being tied together. So Rabbi Yehuda said, akkad means you take a yad and a regal, you tie together. Rago means within one foot, or within one hand, you take the yad and the zraya and you put it together. It's very nice, Rabbi Yehuda said, but it's not like a brice. Akkad means that you take the two hands and the two feet and you tie it together. Rago means shala yakuv yadoi al gabiz. So Rago, Rabbi Yehuda seemed to have gotten right. But as it relates to Akkad, it's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said Yad to the Regal. Again, the Yad is the ones that are in front. The Regal are the ones in the back. The animal only has feet. We're using the Yad loosely. But the point is, Akkad, according to the Brice, is Shtei Yodayim together and the Shtei Reglayim together. So Gemara says, don't make it like a different Brice. I'm going to the Brice. Akkad, Akkad is Yad V'Regal. Either it means the Yad and the Regal. Oy, Shtei Yodayim and Shtei Reglayim. Or the two hands together, the two Reglayim together. Rogo means Shlo Yaakov Yodayi Agab Yisroi V'Yikshar. So over here in this Brice, you see clearly the definition of Akkad like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara says, it's true you see Rabbi Yehuda's definition in this Braisa. However, it's not 100% Rabbi Yehuda. Why not? Because Rabbi Yehuda had one definition of the word Akkad. The Braisa has two definitions of the word Akkad. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's Akkad? It's always Yad V'Regel, tied together. According to the Braisa, it's Ada Adar. Either the Yad V'Regel tied together, or it's Shtei Yodayim V'Shtei Reglayim. So the Gemara says, Takati Loi Dami, Bishleim Ereisha V'Seif Anicha. The first pshat that the Braisa gave for Akkad, and the pshat that the Braisa gave for Rogel, that's consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. But Nitziyasa Kasha, but the middle pshat, meaning the second pshat that the Braisa gave for Akkad, is inconsistent with Rabbi Yehuda said. So the Gemara says, you're right. He can't be the Tana of this Braisa. Rather, Elohuda Amar Ki Hai Tana. Akkad Akkad is Yad V'Regel Yisrael Ben Avram. Rogel Shal Yaakov Yodah Agab Yisrael V'Yikshar. Which is exactly, it's precisely what Rabbi Yehuda said. The bottom line is, they would sometimes tie the legs and the feet and the lower part of the hand to the upper part of the hand of an animal. The reason they would do it, by the way, was to calm it down. It's like this, it wouldn't be too aggressive, it wouldn't run away. So this is sometimes something that they would sometimes do. The question is, can an animal go out like that on Shabbos? It's a Mishnah. Loi Akkad, v'loi Rogo, v'chein Shar Kola Behemis. It's not okay. V'loi Yikshar Gemalim. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to tie two camels together. My time, I'm Rav Ashi from the Mechzi Commander Ozel Lichinga. Because it looks like you're going to the shuk. It looks like you're going to sell it. There's a Marisayan issue. It's a Marisayan shaila of doing business on Shabbos. Now, the truth is that doing business on Shabbos is not an Issadei Raisa. It's an Issa de Rabbanon. So if it's an Issa de Rabbanon, you see that there's a Marisayan for an Issa de Rabbanon. At first glance, that could be a little bit of a chiddush. And the truth is, there is a shach in Yerideya that says that could be, there's no issa marasayin when it comes to Yisur Rabbanon. It's a big topic. It actually comes up a few times in Masechta Shabbos. So we're going to save that for another day. But for now, the reason why Yikshar Gmalim is because of marasayin. And I think it's kedai to stop here for 1 second and realize that we're discussing Bameh Behem Eina Yoitzer. Right? There are things Bameh Behem Eina Yoitzer, and then there are the Uvama Eina Yoitzer. Really, if you make a summary of what we have up until now, there's three reasons that we've discussed throughout all these Gemaras, many of which were bullet point style, as to why it is that an animal may not be able to go out on Shabbos in a certain way. The most obvious reason would be Shvisa Shabbos. An animal has to rest on Shabbos. If an animal is not allowed to do malach on Shabbos, so it can't carry, because Haitzah is one of the Lametes Malachas. We mentioned a few times the Chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua, that being that Haitzah is only a malach Geruah, even if the animal would carry on Shabbos, maybe it'd only be Asim Ed Rabbanon. But the point is, there's a Shvisas Behema consideration that permeates the whole parak. Another reason why an animal may not be able to go out with something on Shabbos, a reason that was mentioned a few times in the Gemara, is because there's a concern that whatever's on the animal may fall off the animal. And if it's something of value, there's a concern you may pick it up. So there's a concern of not the animal is carrying, not Shvisas Behema, but a gzera that I may come to carry. That's a much bigger issue. And now we have the third thing. Commander, the Mechzi Commander Azul Lichinga. bingo. There's certain things that animals only wore when they were in the shuk, when you were preparing to sell it. So if you're going to let the animal go out in a certain way, it is a maris ayin issue of mekach u'memke b'shabbos, and it's for that reason we have a problem. Avol machnes. Again, the Mishnah said you're not allowed to tie the animals together. Avol machnes chavon l'teichyod. What you are allowed to do is you're allowed to hold the individual ropes of the individual camels in your hand. U'bavachala yichrach. You just have to make sure that the ropes themselves don't knot. They don't come tied together. Rav Ashi said the reason you have to be careful that the ropes don't tie together is et loishanu elin kalayim. It's for a kalayim issue. It has nothing to do with Hilcha Shabbos. It's because of kalayim. So the Gemara says, kalayim demai. We know there's different types of kalayim. So what type of kalayim are we talking about? Ilani kalayim da adam, there's halacha that two animals are not allowed to do work together in a field. So maybe that's what you're worried about. I'm walking my camel. The rope is tied to my hand. So there's an element over here of kalayim between the adam and the behemoth. But that's a mefurish mishnah. It's a mishnah in mesachtes kalayim. Adam mutterim kulam nachish v'lim shoch. That's not a problem. Ela kalayim de chavolim. What it means maybe is the kalayim of the chavolim. Maybe the ropes themselves may run into kalayim issues. You may have a tzemer rupishtin problem. But the Gemara says the tanya we learned to the brayza. Toikiv tkiyif avos ein echibur. If someone has some rupishtin and he ties it together with one tkifa, he weaves one little thing, that's not considered a chibur as it relates to kalayim. So what's the kalayim problem? Kalayim the adam, a person and a camel is not kalayim, and a toichet chiva achas is never considered kalayim either. The Gemara says, loivim kalayim the chavolim, v'achi kamar ubuvad shalo yichrech v'yikshah. You're right. If all it would be was yichrech, that wouldn't be too much. We're afraid that you may come together and you may knot it together and then you're going to knot it again. You may make it in a way where it's a real kalayim. Amar Shmuel said, "Above Achla Yetsay Chevel Mitoich Tachas Yodei." Another halacha Shmuel said is you have to make sure that there isn't a tefach's worth of rope that's protruding behind your hand. So if you're holding it with your hand, on the bottom of your hand, if there's a tefach of rope, that's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, "Vatani Bei Shmuel." Shmuel said somewhere else, "Tfachayim." Now, the first halacha was Shmuel. The second was Tana Devei Shmuel, the yeshiva of Shmuel said. So do you need a tefach? Do you have to make sure there's no tefach? Or do you have to make sure there's no tefachayim? I'm Rabbi Abai said, Hashalama Shmuel tefach, Tana Devei Shmuel tefachayim. So Shmuel halacha l'maisa asal hashmin. It must be that really he held tefachayim. The reason he said tefach was, in halacha was being machmer. Really, the shear is tefachayim. He was just being machmer. What's this idea that you can't have too much rope on the other side? Because if you can have a lot of rope on the other side, it's going to look a little like you're carrying a rope. So again, there's a marasayan issue. This is a marasayan of a real deraisa, so it looks like you're carrying. So to prevent it looking like you're carrying, you have to make sure it looks like you're walking your dog as opposed to carrying a leash. That's the distinction. That's what we're worried about. But the Gemara says, I have another shiva. Tanya, we learned to the braiso, ubavachi agbiya menakaka tefach. The only thing you have to be aware of is make sure the leash is one tefach off the ground. But as long as the leash is a tefach off the ground, nothing else seems to matter. Doesn't matter if there's a tefach, tfachayim, just make sure it's above ground. So that's a different cheshbon. There you have to make sure that the part of the rope that's between your hand and the animal, not the little bit of rope that's protruding from the other side of your hand, meaning the side farthest from the animal, but rather the part of the rope that's between your hand and the animal, you have to make sure that that's a little bit above ground, because if that's not going to be above ground, it's going to look a little bit like the animal is carrying the rope. So the first consideration of uvachlo yetsa mitachas yodei tefach or tfachayim, that's what shouldn't look like you're carrying the rope. Here, the other consideration, how much the rope is off the ground, is to make it sure it doesn't look like the animal is carrying the rope, which is a Shvi'is Behemah problem. The bottom line is that you can walk your camel on Shabbos, but you just have to make sure there's no Marisayan issue. You have to make sure it doesn't look like you're carrying the rope. You have to make sure it doesn't look like the animal is carrying the rope. As long as you can figure that out, it's going to be okay. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Again, we're discussing Uvama in a Yoytze. In Chamor Yoytze, the Mardas, a Chamor. A donkey is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a mardas, with its sackcloth, bizman she'enuk shurulei, if it's not tied onto it. V'loy bezug, it's not allowed to go out with a bell, afal pishu pakuk, even though the bell is not making any noise. V'loy besulam shebetzavari, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. V'loy beretzua shebiraglei, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. Ve'ena tarnagolim yoytzim b'chutin tarnagolim, I'm not allowed to go out with threads on them. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Ve'loy beretzua shebiraglei, see what that means in the Gemara. Ve'ena zcharim yoytzim b'agol shetachas ha'elyo, the zcharim are not let it go out with a wagon underneath their tail. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Ve'ena rechelom yoytzois chanunois, ve'ena egol yoytze begimoin, ve'loi para ba'or ha'kupar, ve'loi beretzusha ben karna. Again, we'll see all in the Gemara. Paras rablasman azai hoytze yoytze beretzusha ben karna, she'loi beretzoin chachomis. Even though the Mishnah said that a para is not let it go out beretzusha ben karna, but the Mishnah famously says that the para of rablasman azai did go out beretzusha ben karna, that Gemara is going to segue us into two dafin of Agadato. Those are the next two Dafin and change coming up. But for now, a little bit more of technical Gemara. So the Mishnah said a bunch of things. Ein chamar yoytze b'mardas b'zman she'ein k'shura. So the chamar is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a sackcloth if it's not k'shura. That was in contrast to the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis that said chamar yoytze b'mardas b'zman she'ein k'shura. So when could the chamar go out if it's k'shura? When can it not go out if it's ain't k'shura? B'me b'heim a yoytze k'shura. B'me ein a yoytze if it's ain't a k'shura. So the Gemara says, my time. What's the reason for this? Kidamar, like we already explained. Now, the truth is, this word's a little bit of a misnomer, because really the Gemara never explained it. The Gemara never explained why it is there's a difference between Kshura and Ein Kshura. What the Gemara did do was, the Gemara discussed the halacha. And the Gemara said, what does Kshura mean? Kshura loy me'er of Shabbos. What does Ein Kshura mean? Ein Kshura loy me'er of Shabbos. Because if it's really not Kshura, of course he wouldn't be able to go up. Pshita, we wouldn't even initiate the Dalit to me. Ein kshura kedamarim in the sense, not the maitaimo, but the halacha means it wasn't kshura me'er of Shabbos. Now, what was the reason for that? So when we learned the Gemara and Gimel Amud Aleph, we spoke out Tosfos that gave three reasons. One of them was Rashi in the sugya. The Rashi in the sugya is this Rashi right here, the first Rashi in the Gemara, that if it's ein kshura by me'er of Shabbos, to like goli me'esmal she'eit tzricha lekach she'el malbush. It's not considered a malbush. Only considered a malbush if it was already tied in erev Shabbos. If it wasn't tied in erev Shabbos, it's not a malbush. Either way, if it was kshura me'er of Shabbos, then it could go out with it on Shabbos. It was only kshur me'er of Shabbos, then it can't go out with it on Shabbos. The halach is the animal's not allowed to go out with a bell, even if the bell doesn't make noise. What's the reason? Because when they used to sell animals, they would tie a bell around it. So again, there's a marasayim problem. This is the third reason that the Mishnah discussed certain halachas, why it would be any yoytze b'Shabbos. So literally means it can't go out with a ladder on its neck. But that's not really what it means. Am Rav Huna, Rav Huna said be'loy. What it means is a brace on its cheek. Why would animals sometimes have that brace? Because sometimes if it had a wound, it would like start scratching its wound. So they wanted a box in the head of the animal, so they would have it sit in this brace. You're not allowed to carry this brace on Shabbos. The animal's not allowed to have a ritzua sheberagloi. What was this all about? They would tie the feet sometimes of the animal together like this. It wouldn't hurt itself. Sometimes the feet would clap into each other, so it wouldn't hurt itself. Chickens are not allowed to go out with thread. Why would they do that? They would do it so that there should be a simon. You know, you need simon and milsi. What happens if somebody loses his chicken? Chayv lahachris. Simonim deraisa. So what's your simon going to be? Oh, I have a red chut. I have this color chut. It's like this. They had a chut. That's what they would do it. But the chut is considered carrying. If it's considered carrying, the tarnagel is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. They're also not allowed to go out with these ritzuas. They would do it. It's like this. They wouldn't damage. So the scharim are not allowed to go out with a wagon. What was this wagon all about? So the Gemara says, because the scharim, their tails were very big and thick, and sometimes it would scrape on the floor and it would damage them. So what they would do is they would put a little wagon underneath it, literally a wagon. It's like this, it would be on the wagon, it wouldn't get hurt. It's considered carrying, not okay on Shabbos. So Rav Acha bar Ula was sitting in front of Chizda and he told him, I'm going to tell you what chanunois means. Again, the Rechelim, and now let it go at chanunois. He said, Mishosha goes is in Oisan. When they would shear the animal for the first time, toinim lo ezek b'shemen. So they would take a shmata, they would dip it in oil, they would put it on the forehead of the sheep. It's like this, it shouldn't feel pain, it shouldn't feel cold. I'm only Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda told Rav Acha bar Ula, in Cain, if that's what they used to do to the sheep, asisa marukfa, you're literally treating the sheep as if they're marukfa. Why marukfa? So Rashi says marukfa was the avbezdin, marukfa was the gvir. People took good care of marukfa. He said, this is a shepsel at the end of the day. What are you, making him into a marukfa? Amalei Rav Chizda, so Rav Chizda, alo yasir, apav rashmul, kamei Rav Chizda, apav rashmul, said, Rav Chizda, let me try a different shot. The kamar, he said, b'shosha keras, lele, when these female sheep, they used to have a baby, tamil wa shnei azak shosham, they would take two shmatas, umanichu la'echad al-padach, they would put one on her shteren, one on her forehead, ve'echad al-arechem, and one on her womb, kadesh ha'tischam, it's like this, she would warm up. Amalei Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, imkein asisa yalta, you're not treating it like marukva, but you're treating it like Yalta. Who was Yalta? That was Rav Nachman's wife. He says, Yalta, yeah, that she gets treated this way when she has a baby. He says, I don't understand. This is the way you treat? It doesn't make sense. Alam Rav Huna said a whole different shot. There's a tree Bekrakayam the Chanun Shemoy or Chanoin Shemoy. Umavien Kisim, they would take a little part of it, Umanichala the Chaitma, they would put it in her nose, Kadesha Tesatesh, like this she would sneeze, the Yiplu Darne Roisha, and all the Chazarai that had to come out of her head would come flying out. So why didn't they do this for the Scharm also? Why are they only doing it for the Nikavis? If it's something they did during childbirth, okay. But why did they only do this for the Nikavis? Gemara says, keeping the man, because the Scharm used to fight anyways, right? They're picking fights with the wolves. Like this, it ends up falling out by itself. They don't need any help. They don't have to sneeze with this chanun wood in order to get all the worms or whatever's going on inside of them to come out. By them, it happens by mela. Shimon Azira said a different shot, albeit a similar shot. Kisma derisma. What it means is resem wood. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Same concept, but it's a different type of wood. So Bishlam the Rav Huna, Hainu Diktani Chanunois. Why is it Chanunois? Because that's the name of the wood, Chanun. El Rabbanu, my Chanunois. So the Gemara says, the Avnilu Milsa de Merachman Alayu. Chanunois Miloshen Keel Rachun V'Chanun. It's a Loshen of Chanun, of Chanina, that we had Rachmanis with these animals. The point is, the animal is not allowed to go out on Shabbos. Chanunois. Ve'ene Egel Yoitza Begimen, the Mishnah said. So Egel is a calf. What's a gimoin? My Egel, but gimoin, Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said, Bar Nira. Don't read it, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Nira. Rather, Amar Rav Huna, breathe. Bar Nira, it means a Bar Nira. It's a yoke. Amar Rav Lazar, my mashma, the high gimoin, lisha the makeup. How do you know that the word gimoin is miloshin makeup? That's why a yoke is to make the animal, you know, crouch a little bit. So what do you see in the word gimoin, this concept? The chsiv, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says halochayf ka'agmoin roishay. You see the word gimoin and lochayf roishay bending down. V'loy para ba'ira kupar. Para is not allowed to go out with the oir of a kupar. So a kupar is a hedgehog. So a hedgehog is a little like a porcupine. So it has rough edges. So they would put this oir on the para. So the Gemara says, what was this all about? The avdile, they would put it on the udders of the para. Ki heichid the loylim tsiyua yali, because leeches would come and they would try to suck out the milk of the para. So they wanted to protect it. So they put this hedgehog, the leech would come once, it wouldn't come a second time. V'loy beretzuah shebein karnel, one last gemara. So the anal, the par is not allowed to go out, beretzuah shebein karnel. Says the Gemara, we discussed this briefly in the beginning of the parak. In fact, we had a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara just chazers in one line what the Gemara discussed in greater detail in the beginning of the parak. Ila Rav, according to Rav, bein lenoi bein l'shamer asa. It's also for the part to go out with the ritzua, whether it's going out lenoi to make it look nice, or whether it's going out l'shamer as a leash. According to Shmuel, Ila Shmuel, lenoi aser, if the aser went out lenoi, but l'shamer mutter would be mutter. What was the machlekes talian? Whether a netirusa yisera is considered carrying or it's not considered carrying. You're allowed to put a leash on an animal. It's not considered carrying. But what if you put on a super duper leash, more than it really needs? So do we say now that being that you did more than you really needed to do, so now it's considered carrying, or maybe it's not considered carrying? That was machlekes Rav and Shmuel. It was machlekes Chananyan lechachamim. Shmuel said alocha kechananyo. So Shmuel is shitaso. He said even leshamer, even as a leash, it's going to be mutter. Rav Paskin like the chachamim. That's what Rav said. Lenoi is going to be mutter. It's going to be aser, but and l'shamer is also going to be aser. So two ha'aris, as it relates to the beginning of the daf. So the beginning of the daf began with real divrei agada, and we'll speak out two ha'aris going backwards. So the Gemara told two stories. Second story first. Tanu Rabbanon, Ma'isa ba'odam echad. There was a story with a person. Shenasa isha gidemes. He married a woman that was a gidemes. She had a mum. V'loy hikirba adyoy ma'isa. However, this man didn't recognize the mum that his wife had until the day that she died. Amar Rav, Rav heard about this. And he commented. He said, Ubayure, take a look, kamet snua ishazu. What a snua this woman was. Shalai hikar babayla. That, you see, she was so sneistic that her husband never saw the mum that she had. Amalei Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya said, Zu d'arka b'kach. I'm impressed with the woman, but I'm not that impressed with the woman. Because number one, kol k'foy debas melech p'nima, women are naturally tsnuim. And besides, this woman had an interest to hide her mum. But you want to know who I'm really impressed with, Reb Chiya said? Kamut tsnua adam zeh. I'm impressed with this fellow. Shalai hikah b'ishtoi. He was never makir his wife. What this person did was very, very impressive. The Rambam, in Hilchas Yisurei Bia, Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Chaf Dalet. He's discussing different halachos of Ishus. Says the Rambam, Chasidim Harishoinim. V'gdoyli ha-chachonim, hispoir echod mehem, the chassidim ha-rishoinim and the gdoyli ha-chachonim. This is the highest compliment that you can possibly get. Says the Rambam. One of them was nispoir, said about himself, that he never looked at his own bris mila. U'mehen misha hispoir, and from then there was also someone that once said, that he never looked at the tzura, not only of any woman, but even the tzura of his wife. And the reason is, because these tzaddikim, they were so engrossed in Torah, that they were able to literally change their natural natiya, which would be for a man maybe to once be nistakel b'mila shaloi, and a woman, or a man to be mispoinen in the tzura of a woman, and certainly his wife, so they were able to control their hirhurim and their machshavos on such a level. So the Rambam says, Chasidim arishoyin v'gdoyli achachomim hispar echa mehem. One of them said shemei oylam lein astakel b'milu shaloi, and there was another one that said shaloi is boynei mei oylam b'tzura sishtoi. And the Rambam saying that once this, once that, as if this was unbelievable what took place. Says the Magen Mishnah, who is the Rambam referring to? I mean, it sounds like Rambam is referring to someone specific. He says one person said he never looked at his bismillah, one person never looked at even tzura sishtoi. So the Magen Mishnah says that the first thing the Rambam says, that there was someone who never looked at his mila, Shabbos per kol kisve, kuf yud chesom inveis. If you look up the Gemara says about Rabbi Yossi, he said, me'olam le'nes takalti v'mila shuli. So he never looked at his bismillah. And as it relates to the second madrego, umehem misha his spoiler, shalay his boyna meyoyla matzura sishtoi, says the Rambam beperik bameh behema omru, kamat sanua adam zeh, shalay hikr beishtoi, shahoyse gidemes adyoy moisa. That's the Magen Mishnah says, that's clearly what the Rambam was referring to. But the truth is that this Gemara is really a very big Kiddush. This Gemara is really a very, very big Kiddush. And it's based on a Gemara that we're all familiar with. A Gemara right in the beginning of the second parak of Masechtas Kedushin. The Gemara says, Kedushin daf mem aleph amir aleph. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. This is Rav talking, by the way. Also, la adam shi yikadesh eso isha ad shiirena. It's also for a person to be mekadesh in isha until he sees her. Why? We're concerned. Shem yirob ed dover meguno. V'teskano. Because we're afraid if you're going to get married to a woman without seeing her, what happens when you do see her? Maybe you're not going to be so happy with what you see. And you're going to end up not liking her. And you're going to violate a halach in the Torah. V'rachman amad. The Torah says, v'yahavta l'reecha kamoicha. So it says, v'yahavta l'reecha kamoicha. So you have no right, says the Gemara, to go ahead and marry someone without looking at her. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Also, la adam she yikadesh eso isho, ad she yireno, shema yirba dvar meguno, v'tiskano olav rachmano amar, v'yahaf l'yecha kamaycho. Who said this? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. If that's the case, it's a pella. How do you learn Pshat in this Gemara? Rav was so impressed, he said, wow, kama tsonua ishazu, kama tsonua ishazu. Why? Because they were married and they never saw each other. What do you mean? How is he allowed to never see her? What happened to the halacha of also la adam sheyikadesh isha ad sheyirena? So the truth is, if you take a look in Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Agoyis Yaivitz on this Gemara, he says one line. He doesn't explain where he's coming from. He doesn't explain where he's going. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden says one line. He says, Shma mino. You see from this Gemara, Titzonua muter lekadesh isha afapisha lo yirena. I mean, he really does explain where he's coming from and where he's going to. He says, you see from this Gemara that a tzonua is allowed to be mekadesh and isha even if he doesn't see her. What's Rabbi Yaakov Emden addressing? He's coming to address this kasha that the Gemara says Mefurish, also the Adam Sheikadesh Isha, Achi Irena Shemi Yirba Dvar Maguna, Fitiskano, Fit Rachman Amr Vahaftoriacha Kamaycha. So, Lechur, if that's the case, how is this person allowed to get married? The Teret says he was a Tanua. And because he is a Tanua, he's different. Shma Mino, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a Chiddush La Locha, that Gemara and Kedusha Ben Malaf is not true for everybody. It's true for ordinary people. But if you're a special person, you're a Tanua, for a Tanua, this halacha is not going to apply. What's the Vart? The Vart is, clearly, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was of the opinion that this is not a regular Issa V'Heter, but rather it's more related to a person that there's a concern that eventually he's going to end up seeing her, A. And B, when he eventually ends up seeing her, there's a chance she'll like this Ghana. But if this person's a tzniyas to get mensch, so you don't have to be worried so much that he's going to look at her and he's not going to be so happy and it's going to come to him violating via hatra yacha kamaycha. Again, the point is, this is true for an ordinary person, but for an ish tzenua, it's not going to. Everyone knows Rashi and Parashas Lech Lecha. Avram and Sarah, they're coming to Mitzrayim, and the pasuk says, Vayikash hikrav avi Mitzrayim, Vayomer el Sarah. Sarai. So Avram turns to his wife, who at that point was still Sarai. Hinei no yodati ki ishi yefas marot. I know now that you're ishi yefas marot. Zok Rashi, two pshatim. The first pshat, ad zok Rashi, medrash agado, ad achshav, loy hikirba, up until that time, Avram Avinu had never seen his wife Sarai. He had no idea that she was beautiful. Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara that she was Bas Kuf ke Bas Chav, Bas Chav ke Bach Zayin L'yoyfi, that she was very, very beautiful, Sarai. But Avram Avinu had no idea. You know why? Because he had never seen her. But then a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya with the reflection and the lake and the mirror. We all know the story. So Ata Yadati, he said, Ki Ishi Yefas Mara. The truth is, Rashi quotes a Medrash Agada, but really, this is Kamana Mefurish Gemara Mesechtes Bava Bas. And the Marsha in his Chedushei Agadas on that Gemara asks, he doesn't understand Pshat. How could Avram Avinu have been Mekadesh his wife Sarai without seeing her? How did you do with this Gemara? You have a Gemara Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Mem Aleph Amin Aleph. The Gemara says, also Adam Shin Kadesh Isha Ad Sheyirenu. You're not allowed to do that. Now, you're going to tell me it was before Matan Torah. We know Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Says the Marsha, you'll tell me it's a Derabbanan. Avram Avinu kept the Rabbanans also. The Gemara said he kept Afilu Erev Tavshilin. So if he kept Afilu Erev Tavshilin, so it comes that he kept not only the Rais, he kept the Rabbanans. So the Chur, there's an Issa the Rabbanan. Also, Adam Shikadash, Ishaad Shirena. So Freik the Masha in Chidushei Agodis, Bava Basra, Perakashutvin, Tavte Zayin Amid Aleph. How do you understand Pshan in this Gemara? So the Masha over there says two Terutzim. The second Teretz is interesting. Says the Masha that Lafi, what I said in other places, one of those places is Mesechtes Yuvam Nistav Kuf, that Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula, but only after he had Bris Milah. But before he didn't, before the Bris Milah, Avram Avinu didn't keep Kol HaTorah Kula. Says if that's the case, then it's very good. It's Miyoshev, because this, of course, happened before Bris Milah. This is the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Bris Milah is not going to happen until the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu is 75 years old at this point. Avram Avinu is not going to do Bris Milah until he's 99 years old. So this didn't happen. There was no Bris Milah yet. Before Bris Milah, Avram didn't keep Kol HaTorah Kula yet. So if he didn't keep Kol HaTorah Kula, so Mechatesi kept this halacha of Asul Adam Sheikad. So I'm thinking it's counterintuitive, right? You see sometimes the das of the Torah and how it changes us in ways where we wouldn't even expect it. Meaning, Avram Avinu married Sarah without looking at her. Why? Because this was Avram Avinu. He was a grace of Almadrega. He didn't want to look at her. It's Aser. Asul Adam Shikadesh Asisha. The Teretz is, it was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, Avram Avinu didn't have to keep Kol HaTorah Kula. So before Matan Torah, Avram Avinu didn't have to keep Kol HaTorah Kula. So he was able to be Machmer. He was able to marry her without looking at her. He was able to go bedarke at Tznius and not even look at her. And a chinami, noch Matan Torah. Now there's an Isser. What am I supposed to do? Asul Adam Shikadesh Asisha, Ad Sheyirenu. So before Matan Torah, when Avram Avinu didn't have to keep Kol HaTorah Kula, because the Torah wasn't given yet, and he didn't have Bris Milah yet, so he didn't keep the Torah yet. So at that point, he could do whatever he wants. Oh, he could do whatever he wants. He could be Machmer. He could go ahead and he can marry Sarah without looking at her. Once the Torah was gitten, now you have no gerecht anymore to keep that Chumrah. Also, Adam Shikadash Ishaad Sheyirenu. Now you have to start making Cheshbonos. What happens if later you're going to see, you're not going to like what you see, and you're going to come to violate via Haftal Reach HaKamaycha? So now already Avram Avinu has to be quote-unquote Mekel. Again, it's mamish counterintuitive, but that's what the Marsha says. It was kind of Matan Torah, because it was Kohen Matan Torah, so there Avram Avinu was able to go more b'derech hatznius, and he was able to go more b'derech hatznius. It was okay for him to marry Sarai without looking her. But the Marsha says, "Do terutzim." But I think it's pashut that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that what he says right here on our Gemara would be a third teretz to the Marsha's kasha. What did Rabbi Yaakov Emden say? That you see from this Gemara that this person, Rav, everybody was so excited what this person did. What was so great about what they did? Because they got married, they never even saw each other. What do you mean? What happened to the halacha? And this is not Matan Torah. This happened in the times of Rav. This happened in the times of Rav Chia. So Luchura, this is already late. So how are you allowed to do this? And by the way, again, Rav Yehuda Merav is the one that said it in Kedusha Mem Aleph. And over here, he's so impressed by this story. Such Rav Yaakov, and then you have to say that a Ish Tzanua is different. Right? You find places in Halacha where a Tzanua is treated differently. Like in Hilchas Yichud, you find a difference between if two men are allowed to be Miyachud with one Isha. Are they Ksherim? Are they Prutzim? Gemaras and then the Masechtas Kedusha. So you see, there is a concept of a difference between a tzanua and not a tzanua. This is a halacha where chaps and afkamina if you're a tzanua or not. If a tzanua is different, Avram Avinu was a tzanua. So if Avram Avinu was a tzanua, I think that's obvious. So if that's the case, that would be miyashiv the marsha's kashif. The fact that the marsha didn't say this to answer that, it's l'chura apparent that the marsha didn't hold like Rabbi Yaakov Emden. But either way, I think this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's very posh, it would be a teretz. to the Marsha's Kasha in Mesechtes Bava Basra, Daf Pez Zayin Amid Aleph. That's the first star. The second star is, again, going backwards as it relates to the two stories that the Gemara told right in the beginning of the Daf. So the first story was as follows. Maisa Ba'echad, there was a story with a person. Shemesa Ishta, his wife died. Venicha Ben Linoik, and she left over a child that had to be nursed. But this person didn't have money to hire someone to nurse his child. V'nasloines, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle. V'niftachu loy dadin kishnei dadi isha. And somehow, miraculously, he developed dadin like a woman. V'heinikas b'nai, he was able to nurse his child. Amar Rav Yosef, Abay yirei kama godol adam zesh, v'nasloines godol kazeh. You see that he was so great that he merited such a miracle. Amar Abay said, I think just the opposite. Adir Abba, kama guru adam zesh, she'nishtan olay sidri bereshis, Hashem couldn't find a way to give him a little parnasa without turning the world upside down. If the world gets turned upside down, for you could lose chosim, comes with an invoice, not necessarily a good thing. So to the contrary, kama guru adam zeh, she'nishtan olay sidri bereshis. And then the Gemara has a postscript said, Amar Rav Yehuda, bayirei kama kashim is lein oisef shal adam, she'nishtan olay sidri bereshis, that Hashem literally had to be mishana sidri bereshis to give a person parnasa, because Parnas is hard. Omer Rav Nachman, Teda, the Mesrachi Shnisa v'lo Yivru Mezoin. You see miracles happening and still people struggle for Parnasa. So Vaistois, Parnas is a Shver Ezach. And that's what he said, Kama Koshin Mezoinoisav Shalotam. So we mentioned when we were going through the Gemara that at first glance, this Gemara is really a Pella. Here this person has this unbelievable miracle. If you would know someone had a Moifus happen to him, so you would be impressed. You would say, Kama Gerua Adam Zeh. Why would anyone even think that way? Why would that be the takeaway? The takeaway should have been what Rabbi Yosef said. Kama gadol adam zeh. Abaye says, no, Rabbi. Kama guru adam zeh. It's a little bit tzorich beer. So in the Sefer Steyel Yo from the Vilna Gaon, so they bring that Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Akdama to the Vilna Gaon's Pirish on the Sifra Ditzniusa. So it's Yodua that the Vilna Gaon wrote a Pirish on Sifra Ditzniusa, above my pay grade. But Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote a Hakdama to the Vilna Gaon's Pirish. And a lot of what we know about the Vilna Gaon is based on the first-hand report that was written for Reb Chaim Volozhin. So this vart comes from the Hakdama that Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote in his, as the Hakdama to the Vilna Gaon's Pirish on Sifra Ditzniusa. So he said like this. He says, you want to know why Abaye thought that something was a little bit off with this story? He says, because usually when the Gemara introduces somebody very chashiv, the Gemara says, Maisa b'chassid echad, go through Shas. There was a story with a Adam chashiv, with a gadol, with a chassid echad. Over here the Gemara says, Maisa b'echad. There was a story with a person. It sounds like this person was a simpleton. It sounds like there was something about this person. He wasn't known as a chashiv person. Mitamol, this person, who no one knew to be chashiv, no one ever saw him learn Torah, no one ever saw him doing a lot of chesed. As far as we know, he's a regular, ordinary person. And he merited such a miracle? Something didn't schmeck right. And it's for that reason, Abaya, who maybe could have been Dan Lekav Schus, his takeaway was, he said, something bothers me here. Kama Garua Adam Zeh. My takeaway is going to be, to the contrary. It's because the Gemara said he wasn't a chassid echad. As far as we know, he was a pashta person. And because he was a pashta person, that's why said Reb Chaim Volozhin, Chazal saw in there that maybe there was something wrong. And then Reb Chaim Volozhin said something very sharp. And this was the point. His point was, is that the moifus doesn't make the person. The person makes the moifus. That's pshat in Abaya. Abaya wasn't impressed with the moifus. He's an Adam Echad. At Gemachta Moifus, Kama Garua Adam Zeh. He wasn't impressed with him. If the person would have been a chassid and then he'd make a moifus, yeah, then the moifus would be impressive. Then it would be half of a fella. I didn't see it inside. I mean, I saw this in the Sefer Stei Elio, which is a likud of all the Goyim's tirades. I mean, this Sefer is a feichba, a feichba, the kulaba. But it probably it's in the context of Reb Chaim Volozhin talking about all the moifusim that he saw by the Vilna Gaon. But that it all came from the Goyim's Torah. That's where it came from. So he said, a person who's an Adam Echad that had a miracle, Abaya said, Kama Garua Adam Zeh. He said, when a person's a Gavri, he's a Talmud Chacham, here's the Lashon. Vehine, Hanoida Benigla, Ba'oitzim Gdulas Teirasei Vechasidusai, Nucha Lahamin all of Maisen Nisim. Avaloi Lahepach. Al Yedei Maisen Nisim Lahamin, unbelievable. But either way, this is what the Reb Chaim Volozhin is saying in his Akdama to the Gaon's Pirush on the Sifra Ditzniusa. But just to end with an epic tshuva for Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, and like so many of Rav Moshe's tshuvas, this is a feichba va'feichba de kulaba. It's an Erech Chaim Chelik Beis. It's Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, and the name of the Simon is Be'inyan Insurance. And Yesh Bazachi Sarah in Chas V'Sholem Be'Bitachah in Ba'Hashem Yisbarach. Oh, The tshuva was written L'chacham Echad Chav Zayin Mar Cheshvin Tavshin Chav Dalet, 1964. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked whether it's a chisarin in bitachon for a person to take out bitachon, for a person to take out life insurance. That was the question. The question is it not okay for a person to take out life insurance? So Rav Moshe goes ahead and Rav Moshe methodically addressed the shaila, but he started literally fin umfang. He started from Bereshis, from the beginning. The first thing Rav Moshe says is that even though a person, of course, has to be beteach, and he has to believe that every single thing that he has in his life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, Adam HaRishon was cursed, b'zeyas apecha teich alechem. And it's because of that, the metzias is that if a person wants from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to work for it. It's what we know as a shtadlus. So much so that Chazal say, ein soimchen al anes. Ein soimchen al anes, says Rav Moshe, is an iser. There's a halacha of ein soimchen al anes. And he brings, says Rav Moshe, ba'arichos, that you find even by tzaddikim, that were maybe ru'uyim for miracles to happen to them, even for them it was not okay to be soimchen al anes. Because there's a concept of ein soimchen al anes. It's not whether the likelihood, statistically speaking, of the person marrying a miracle will happen one. It's nothing to do with that. It's an iser v'heter. There's some things that are just aser. Ein soimchen al anes says Rav Moshe is a halach in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it is. And because ein soimchen al anes says Rav Moshe, so it's for that reason every person has to make a shtadlus. He has to do whatever he could possibly do to make sure that he's going to have parnasa. And then Rav Moshe digresses a little bit into something that we've spoken about so many times in the daf. And that is, we know the last mishnah of Masechtas Kedushin. Rav Meir says, Chayev Adam Lelamed as Benoy Umnis, you should teach him an Umnis Nikki Vakala. A person has an obligation to teach him an Umnis. Rav Nuroy said, Maniachani kol Umnis Shaba Oilam, the Inim Lamed Bini Ala Taira. Says Rav Moshe, at first glance, it would seem that Rav Nuroy was of the opinion that a father doesn't have to teach a son an umnis, meaning a person doesn't necessarily have to do a shtadlus. A person could just learn Torah and assume without any hishtadlus that he's going to be taken care of, that whatever needs he has are going to be taken care of him. Meaning the mayor who says, Chai von lamis benoy umnis, yeah, obviously you have to teach him an umnis. But according to Rav Nuroy, it sounds like it's not necessary. Maniachani kol umnis sheba oilam, ve'inim alamed b'ni ala Torah. But here Rav Moshe says something unbelievable. Rav Moshe says, I don't think that's Pshan and Rav Nuroy. I think the whole Welt got Rav Nuroy wrong. He says, I don't think that's what Rav Nuroy meant. Rav Nuroy meant one thing. He said that when a person is raising a child, so when your child is young, so you want to be mechanachim. So says Rav Meir, oh, you have to teach him an umnis. When he's 7 years old, you have to make sure that one day when he's going to get older, he's going to be able to support a family. So you have an obligation already at a young age to teach him an umnis. Says Rav Nuroy, I disagree. As it relates to the mitzvah sa'av ala ben, the obligation that a father has towards his son, I don't think he has an obligation to teach him an umnis. You know why? Not because the child never has to learn an umnis. He does. The child's going to have to figure it out one day. But let the child figure it out. It's not your responsibility as a father to teach it to him when he's young. That's all Rav Nuroy said. He said when a child is young and he's mukhshir and he's not distracted and he has no daigis and he's able to just sit and think clearly, why stup his mind with business? Teach him Torah. It's like this. He'll vaksois in Torah. He'll have a yesoid and a shayrish in Torah. It's like this. When he gets older like this, he'll figure it out himself. But Rav Nuroy never said you don't have to. It's not what he said. He never got involved in that. He didn't say a person doesn't have to work. It's not what he said. He said that a father doesn't have a responsibility to teach his son anything other than Torah. But does that mean that when the child turns older, he's not going to have a responsibility in terms of his ishtadlus to figure something out? He says, of course he's going to have to figure it out. There's no question. But it's going to be his own achrayas. The point is, it's not going to be the father's achrayas. It's an unbelievable chiddush. The whole Welt, everybody, from the Brisker Rav in Parshas Chayesara to the Bir Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, everybody assumes Rav Nuroy is saying that if a person wants, he can live like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Eibush is going to give him whatever he wants. And that's the Makar to the Rambam in Hilchas Shmita B'Yoyvel, the very last Rambam, that a person can be Pirish Mikol Oyvam Hazeh, and Hashem will take care of him. Because even though Harbe Yasuk Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and it didn't work out, but there was a mere to people that followed Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and it didn't work out. What's the Makar? Said the Brisker Rav. Said the Chafetz Chaim and Bir Halacha, the Makar is Rav Nuroy. Maniach ani kolum neshaba oylam v'leim v'lam v'ni ala Torah. Says Rav Moshe, the truth tshuva. I don't think that's what Rav Neroi meant. Rav Neroi didn't say a person, he wasn't talking about an adult. He's talking about a father being mechanech his son. He says a father doesn't have to be mechanech his son for anything other than Torah. When he gets older, he'll have a base in Torah, then he'll figure it out, he'll learn a trade. You have to learn a trade when you're 9? You can learn a trade when you're older. That's all Rav Neroi was saying. But says Rav Moshe, kuli almaloi pligi. Everybody agrees that once a person's older, he can't be soy mechal anes. So if he can't be soy mechal anes, he has no choice. He has to make his shtadlus, whatever his shtadlus is. But the point is, at the end of the day, there's a din his shtadlus. He has no choice but to make his shtadlus. Incidentally, Rav Moshe says that he believes what the Rambam paskin. Rambam holds chayiv adam laminis benoy umnis, or does Rambam hold like Rav Neroi? So of course, you ask any person in the world, he's going to tell you, of course the Rambam holds chayiv adam laminis benoy umnis. We don't pass it like Rav Neroi. Rav Neroi is Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rav Neroi is the highest of high. It's the holiest of the holy. That's Rav Shimon bar Yochai. That's Rav Neroi. What does that have to do with the average man? Rav Moshe says, go through the Rambam's Yad Chazaka. The Rambam doesn't bring the halacha chayiv adam laminis benoy umnis. It's unbelievable. He says, go through the Rambam's Yad Chazaka. He says he brings it in one place. You know when he brings it? In Hilchos Shabbos and Perek Chav Dalet. The Rambam's talking about V'lach Shev Cheshbonos. See, you're not allowed to think about certain things on Shabbos. But Cheshbonos Shel Mitzvah you're allowed to. So Rambam goes through what's it considered Cheshbonos Shel Mitzvah. So he says over there that du meshatchen alatinoikis leyores v'alatinik v'lamdei sefer u'lelamdei umnis. It's the only place he brings it. Rav Moshe says, that bothers me. The only place the Rambam brought this was tucked away in Perek Chav Dalet Hilchos Shabbos. It's not Hilchos Shabbos Dig Halacha. This is Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is Hilchos Deis. This is Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah. This is Hilchos everything. What do you mean? This is a fundamental discussion. How do I lead my life? Do I lead it this way? Do I lead it that way? Zok Rav Moshe, you know why the Rambam never brought it? Because he didn't paskin that way. The Rambam paskin like Rav Neroi. The Rambam paskin like Rav Neroi. What? How can Rambam paskin like Rav Neroi? Then no one's allowed to go to work if they're on paskin like Rav Neroi. Teres is not Rav Neroi. Rav Neroi never said no hishtalus. Not Rav Neroi. Rav Neroi said the father chayiv adam lelaminis benoy. Umnis? No. Maniach ani kol umnis shabayla. My reign is zisa kindala. My son kaddishim to come full circle. That child, I'm not going to waste his mind now with that. He'll figure that out. Diamond tzara b'shaite. When he's older and he has to know it, he'll give zechan eitzah. But I'm going to be my chanuch, my child with Torah. And that goes down as the halacha, says the Rambam. That you don't have to teach your child an umnis when he's young. And most fathers don't. When they get older, they figure it out. But the point is that when you're a child, it's not something that you're obligated to do. Why? Precisely because we pass like Rav Neroi. Bottom line is, says Rav Moshe, after this epic chiddush in this Gemara, you know, we've gone through this Gemara so many times with Rav Neroi, but this is Ein Beis Medrash Boloi Chiddush. So says Rav Moshe, said, bottom line is, you have to make a shtadlus. That's a fact. You have to make a shtadlus. Says Rav Moshe, I'm going to tell you another fact. And that is the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara we learned today, that Parnasa Shver, and when it comes to Parnasa, even miracles sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make. Kama Garua Adam Zed, that he had a miracle that brought him Parnasa. And the Gemara says, Kashim is a Noisa Shal Adam, even more than Nisim, because you see miracles happen. Abinish Parnasa says, this is certainly something you can't be Soymichal Anes for. Because if that's the case, you have to make all the shtadlus in the world that you can possibly do to go ahead and set yourself up. And if you want to set your family up, to set your family up as well. So he says, as far as I'm concerned, buying life insurance is without a question a very reasonable ishtadlus. He says, in fact, it makes a lot of sense. And he says, even practically it makes sense. He says, for a few reasons. He says, because first of all, let's say you're not going to buy life insurance. So what are you going to say? Okay, after 120, so the kinder will have to figure it out. Chances are you're not going to think that. What you're going to think is you're going to want to work and you're going to want to try to do things. So like this, you could set your children up. So you can end up working harder. He says, you're going to end up working harder. You're going to waste all this time. He says, why waste all this time? Because it's true, you have a chiyuv ishtadlus, but you don't have a chiyuv to do more than ishtadlus. At some point, you have to learn, right? It's a double-edged sword, ishtadlus. Ishtadlus, but not too much ishtadlus. That's the other side of the story nobody wants to talk about. But there is something called too much ishtadlus also. So says Rav Moshe, you're going to end up doing too much. So don't do too much. Adarabba. He said, it's such a chesed that there's something called life insurance. It's like this, you don't have to work to support children. Fakad, one day they'll have what they need to get. They'll have it through the life insurance. And he says, besides, I think that from the standpoint of Parnassa, the fact that the Eibishter will give a Yid Parnassa not only for himself, but also for his children, so that's a big ask. It's a big ass. He says, but to have bitachon, where the insurance company is going to write a check, he says, it's an unbelievable chesed. And he says, I know people that are yorei Hashem yisbarach b'yoyser, and they bought life insurance. So he says, based on that, he says, I think not only is it mutter, but I think it's something that's l'katchila. It's a very, very good thing to buy life insurance. We should probably do a little advertisement right now. But either way, today's daf was sponsored by, no, but that's Rav Moshe's Tshuva.